The day Oppenheimer learned of Fuchs' confession, he happened to be having lunch with Ann Wilson Marks in Grand Central Station's famed Oyster Bar. "Have you heard the news about Fuchs?" he asked his former Los Alamos secretary. They agreed that Fuchs had always seemed like such a quiet, lonely, even pathetic character at Los Alamos. "Robert was stunned by the news," recalled Wilson. On the other hand, he suspected that Fuchs' knowledge about the super was probably confined to the less-than-practical oxcart model.
That same week, he told his institute colleague Abraham Pice that he hoped Fuchs had told the Russians all he knew about the super, because that would set them back several years.
Just days before Fuchs' confession became public knowledge, Oppenheimer testified in executive session before the Joint Committee on Atomic Energy. Asked for the first time specifically about his political associations in the 1930s, Oppenheimer calmly explained that he had naively thought the communists possessed some answers to the problems facing the country in the midst of the Depression. At home, his students had found it difficult to find employment, and abroad, Hitler was a menace. While never a party member himself, Oppenheimer volunteered that he had maintained friendships with some communists right through the war years. Gradually, however, he had discerned a lack of honesty and integrity in the Communist Party. By the end of the war, he said he had become a resolute anti-communist, whose earlier sympathies for communist causes would give immunity against further infection. He harshly criticized communism for its hideous dishonesty and elements of secrecy and dogma. Afterwards, a young staff member of the Joint Committee, William Liscombe Borden, wrote Oppenheimer a letter politely thanking him for his appearance. "I think it was right that you appeared before the committee, and I think it did lots of good." Borden, a product of St. Albans Prep School and Yale Law School, was bright, energetic, and obsessed with the Soviet menace. During the war, he was piloting a B-24 bomber on a nighttime mission when a German V-2 rocket flashed by him on its way to London. "It resembled a meteor," Borden later wrote, "streaming red sparks and whizzing past us as though the aircraft was motionless. I became convinced that it was only a matter of time until rockets would expose the United States to direct, transoceanic attack." In 1946, he wrote an alarmist book on the future risk of a nuclear Pearl Harbor, "There Will Be No Time, The Revolution in Strategy." Borden predicted that in years to come, America's adversaries would possess large numbers of intercontinental rockets tipped with atomic bombs. At Yale, Borden and other conservative classmates bought a newspaper ad urging President Truman to issue a nuclear ultimatum to the Soviet Union. "Let Stalin decide, atomic war or atomic peace."